the next conference in this series of lectures or conferences given by Father John A. Hardin, S.J., to the Institute on Religious Life, is entitled The Shy Personality, Father John Hardin.
I think our next subject is the shy personality. You think we've said it all? Well, we haven't. The shy personality. As with the aggressive, this is a large subject. First, a description. Now, these are my own reflections, and I just want to be consistent with myself. I think a shy personality is one that habitually avoids acting or speaking in a way that attracts attention. A shy personality is one that habitually avoids acting or speaking in a way that attracts attention. Period. A shy person is abnormally withdrawn from social intercourse. A shy person is abnormally withdrawn from social intercourse. Let's look at this double description for a few minutes. You will notice immediately that I am not saying whether a shy personality is shy for a good reason or for a bad reason. And this is where the wisdom in dealing with such people comes in. But a shy person is, first of all, habitually one that avoids acting or speaking in a way that attracts attention. Hiddenness. The wanting not to be noticed. The wanting not to project. If there is an opposite to an aggressive personality, it's the shy person. I'll never forget a shy personality that I had in teaching high school in Detroit as a scholastic. And I've forgotten the names of, I'm sure, most of my students, having taught by now several thousand. His name was Rudolf Schreitmuller. S-C-H-R-E-I-T-M-U-E-L-L-E-R. Schreitmuller. Sister?
Well, it makes me laugh because Bauer meaning mouth, you know, a Schreitmuller, that just sounds like a big mouth. In German, you know, the word mouth.
He was a very shy person. He is the nearest thing to a genius I've ever taught. And I've taught a lot of intelligent people. He finished high school in his, I think, 15th year. But very shy. And I had charge of public speaking, forensics. I think this is worth talking about a little bit because it will both illustrate a shy person, which we're trying to do here, and how do you cope with them. So I had him in chemistry in class. I taught chemistry then. I took him aside one day and I said, Rudy, I'd like to have you come out for the debate squad. He said, sorry, Mr. Hardin, I'm too busy. And I knew when he said something, he meant it. I said, all right, Rudy. So that evening I called up his father. And I said, Rudy, your son tells me that he's too busy to come out for the debate squad. I'd like to get him into debating, into public speaking, to get over his excessive shyness. He's very intelligent, as I'm sure you know, I told the father, but he just does not communicate. The next day, Rudy looked me up before class. He said, "Father, I'm coming out for the debating." He had been talked to. Well, brilliant. When he first started public speaking, he would always look at the ground. He was always examining his toes. By the end of the year, he was facing the audience. Very quietly, but very effectively, he would tear down the opposition. We never lost a debate in which Rudy was debating. He was years ahead of anybody he was debating with. About 20 years later, I was lecturing, going to give a lecture at Columbia University. I was not then in New York. And I was standing outside the place where I was to talk, and a big man shook hands with me, and he says, "I am Rudy Schreitmuller." He was living alone, never married. And he just thanked me effusively for having helped him at least for 1 year in trying to get over his shyness. With shy people, you have to be aggressive. They must be convinced you love them. You want to help them. Once they have your confidence, they know they should get over their shyness. They often don't know how. I further describe the shy person as one who is abnormally withdrawn from social intercourse. In other words, shyness is the opposite of communicativeness. And shyness is mainly recognized by what seems to be either a fear or a lack of desire to communicate. I have found, having taught speaking and having dealt with speakers over the years, there are exceptions, but they are exceptions. The more a person has to say, the more intelligent and gifted a person is, normally, the less natural tendency that person has to communicate. I repeat, there are exceptions. Those who are most eager to communicate usually have the least to say. That's a large statement. It's worth saying, though. In other words, shyness, when genuine, and there are two kinds of shyness, as we shall see, usually reflects an extraordinarily gifted person. I repeat, when genuine. At any rate, a shy person needs help. No matter how genuine the shyness is, they need help. That's the first description. Second, types. I won't say much about the two types except to identify them. Then in my analysis, I will analyze each type. Then in the training of each, I will also separately treat of each type. The two types. First, the shy by nature or temperament. Mothers tell me, otherwise I'd never know. There are some babies Now, if you can believe it, mothers tell me they know this even during pregnancy. There are some children that are going to be the quiet, sedate, let's say conformist type. There are others that mothers tell me, I knew it before she was born. The self-assertive. So the shy by nature or temperament. Now you will notice, I still identify nature with temperament. We talked about this, didn't we? Distinguish between personality and character. Well, these three words in my vocabulary, and others can have theirs, but I have found it useful to identify these three words: nature, personality, and temperament. It is that with which a person, by and large, is born, though more accurately, it is that with which and into which we are born. That's essentially temperament. Character is a result of training, development, and especially the use of one's own will. So shy by nature or temperament. When did we talk about this? That God infuses a distinctive soul into each person. Didn't we say that? And each soul is different. And some souls are shy from conception. Right. And some are aggressive from conception. Oh, this is perfect. Name one biblical figure that we know was shy before birth. Pardon me. Forget it. That we know was aggressive before birth. John the Baptist. His mother said so. Second, a person who is shy because of moral character. Now that's different. In other words, the shyness there has been cultivated or developed, whether consciously or unconsciously. I cannot tell you how important it is, even imperative, to know the difference. Now, we're all somehow a combination of both, but what a difference in coping with each. Now, the analysis. Those who are shy by nature or temperament have this kind of personality from the dawn of their existence. This kind of person, therefore, is shy with all the qualities that we earlier described, and we cannot, or should not at least, attribute any moral responsibility for their condition. Just as with the aggressive person, remember, there are some that are aggressive by nature. I might see where there is no person now anymore who has reached the age of reason, and certainly by adulthood, who is any longer exclusively either shy or aggressive by nature. True enough. Nevertheless, if I'm going to cope with a person's moral character, I have to deal with that and not make the mistake of trying to, in one case, crush an aggressive personality, right? Or arouse a shy personality and stimulate all kinds of activity on the part of the shy person, which frankly is contrary to the kind of person he or she is. Now, second, shy because of moral character. We're not yet talking about training as such, though it's implied. Here, however, I distinguish between two kinds of shy people whose character is shy. That is, they have been shaped or shaped themselves in that way. First, they are shy because of their moral character, because of weakness, moral weakness. What do I mean? Some people are shy because of a lack of prudence. They don't know how to cope with situations, so they withdraw. They don't enter into certain things which, say, they ought to really become involved in, while they've never cultivated the virtue of prudence, which is the virtue of using the right means to attain a predetermined end. They may be intellectually lazy to think through either what they should do or how to do it. So now they withdraw from social intercourse because they lack the kind of developed judgment which, if a person is going to do what they're supposed to do, or, for example, say what they're supposed to say, a person may look shy in public. Shy, my eye. The person never prepared the talk. What do you mean, shy? Lazy. Whenever I fail to prepare class, I always make sure in my next confession I confess it. Secondly, this is shyness due to moral weakness, a lack of fortitude. We're going to run down the four moral virtues, by the way, just for the record. All masking as humble shyness, like a fortitude. Fortitude is a virtue, which we should recall is already infused at baptism, because while there is a natural virtue of fortitude, there is also an infused virtue, which comes with sanctifying grace. This would be two kinds of weaknesses. Either the fear of undertaking what should be done, of assuming responsibility, or more commonly, Christian fortitude is especially the virtue of undergoing. In other words, a person who may seem to be shy is actually a fearful person. Fearful of what? Fearful of the cross. They don't talk because they don't want to get hurt. Because the moment you open your mouth, people are listening. And you can either make a fool of yourself, or at least somebody who thinks that they should be talking and they're not listening to you, they want to talk. In any case, the fear of either undertaking or of undergoing a lack of fortitude. Thirdly, it may be a lack of temperance, which, as you know, is especially the virtue that controls our bodily appetites. For example, unless I have a well-developed chastity, I will not engage in perfectly normal and legitimate and virtuous conversation with people or dealings with people for fear of, say, losing my virtue. because temperance is not merely abstaining from things, it is having the control that I can, as Christ tells us in the Gospel of Mark. That's a very wonderful passage there, where he tells us that his believers, the followers of Christ, they'll be able to pick up serpents, remember? Drink deadly things, poison, and not get hurt. I must have enough self-control in dealing, say, with people, if I'm going to live a normal community life, and consequently, a person who is fearful that their virtue is not sufficiently strong will be very shy, whereas the problem is not with pride, but with getting over one's lack of self-control. And this in teaching priests, so many of them. Look, your first dozen confessions may stagger you. You better get some virtue, because people, that's why they come to confession, to tell their sins. They start telling you about their virtue, stop them. Tell them they can talk about that after confession. But you better be in control. No matter what they tell you, if it's part of their confession, you've got to listen. In other words, you must be master of yourself. Very well. The lack of temperance may mask as shyness. And finally, a lack of justice. The last thing you would expect has anything to do with shyness. But let me put it this way. Let me ask a question. In a religious community, do my fellow villagers have a right? Know the question? Do they have a right to know me? Do they have a right to know me?
Yes.
Is that a strange question? What's the answer, brother?
Yes.
Yes. Do they have a right, always within prudent limits, to know what's on my mind?
Not always.
So I said within prudent limits.
Please turn over to side B and push the play button immediately without rewinding the tape.